All right, David, Kay, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for all the good work you're doing on this year's pledge drive. And hope you can be, I urge you to be as responsive and generous as you can, which is what I'm talking about for the next few minutes here. This past week, our acting district executive for the Northern New England District, Reverend Karen Brammer, she paid me a visit. We have a new permanent DE coming on in a couple of months. Purpose of Karen's visit was to conduct what they call an exit interview with me and later in the evening with your governing board. This is a routine procedure that all of our UU Association district offices do when churches are changing ministers, which, as you know, we are. Karen, I've known her both as a friend and ministerial colleague for some time now, and she asked the kind of questions one would expect in such a conversation, including asking me the accomplishments I had the most positive feelings about over the course of my ministry here with you. Well, some of the answers I gave here are ones I have already shared with you in sermons during this year, particularly even one a couple of weeks ago. I told her I felt we'd become a more open and diverse congregation when it came to accepting and affirming a wider range of religious and theological and spiritual thought and expression than had been the case when I first arrived. I said I was pleased with the breadth of our social justice work, with our welcoming congregation program. I was pleased with the stand so many of you have taken for the cause of marriage equality, which, as we now know, is under threat in our state. None of these things, as well as the other accomplishments I mentioned to Karen, and I said this in the course of our congregation, none of them were things I had done or carried forth completely on my own. On the contrary, the reason I felt especially pleased about them was because I was talking about things we've been able to work together on for the past two decades and more. Well, it wasn't until we got to a later point in the interview when Karen asked me a question. I don't even remember what the question was now, but it was a question related to our finances that another significant accomplishment that I felt particularly good about popped into my head. And again, it wasn't something I had done all on my own, but thanks to the work of a lot of folks over the years. I said I was pleased with how, particularly in more recent years, we have become more open and forthright about our financial needs and aspirations. We've become more open in letting our members and friends know what our expectations of the congregation are when it comes to what we need from them to assure our financial health and stability. The obvious, I hope it's obvious, caveat that I always offer when I say this is that we never ask nor do we expect anyone to give beyond their means and ability to do so, even as we do offer some rather clear giving guidelines, which you'll see in your pledge packet. Well, why did I consider that such an accomplishment that I mentioned it to our acting DE? I did so because of the progress that it represents. I know I'm exaggerating a little with my next statement here, but it's maybe only a little when I say that upon my arrival here 24 years ago, came close to being money as the subject that dare not speak its name. Well, that may be a bit much. I'll temper it by saying that what I did find was an overreaction to those religious bodies and organizations who always seem to be beating the drum about money in ways that do become onerous. But the thinking had kind of gotten to where, well, because they, whoever they are out there, because they make such a big thing about money, then we won't make much anything about it at all. There's a whole other sermon in there because that's a reactive trap that I see a number of our UU congregations getting into because somebody else, other religious bodies doing something a certain way, that means that we're somehow not supposed to do it. That's a topic for another day. Well, one of the consequences, though, of this near code of silence about money and financial matters was that we had become unduly reliant upon our invested funds to the point that they were paying nearly two-thirds of our annual operating budget from one year to the next, and that was not healthy. The good news, and I think David and Kate have already spoken to this somewhat, is that as we became more forthright about our financial needs and expectations, we have managed to reverse that situation. Over the past 5 years, if we go back and use the 2007-2008 year as a benchmark, four or five years, we've increased our pledge base by $33,000 while significantly lessening our reliance on our invested funds. But the thing that's even more telling for me about that is during that same span of time, as we were adding to our pledge base, during that same span of time, we contributed approximately $153,000 from our outreach collections to organizations and causes that reflect our values and principles in the wider world, just as we did today. Our wider world out there beyond our needs and beyond our doors. I think both of these sets of numbers are all the more remarkable when we consider the very tough, for many people, economic climate that's been prevailing in our society during that same run of time, and for some of you, the very shaky job, shaky employment situations that I know a lot of you, our members and friends, have also had to deal with during that time. So when I look at these figures, when I look at numbers, I'm always looking for something more than the numbers, because they convey a couple of important lessons to me. One lesson is that taking care of our own needs and helping care for the needs of others is not a zero-sum game. At least it doesn't have to be. Properly done, as I believe we do here, one kind of giving does not need to detract from the other when it comes to taking care of ourselves, as we must do, and advancing our efforts for a more humane, just, and caring world, as we also must do. Giving begets giving. Generosity begets generosity. And the other lesson I take from these numbers, these figures, as I say, tell a bigger story than just numbers and figures, important as they are. They tell a bigger story about the many ways in which many of you give of your time and your energy and your goodwill. We have an excellent church staff here, well, now called an executive team. And it's one that I am honored and privileged to work with from day to day. And I know that every single one of them would agree with me that they could not do the fine jobs they do were it not for all the volunteer energy that runs through this place. From those of you who serve on committees, who teach our children and young people, who organize a wide array of social events and study groups, who lead covenant groups, who assist in worship, and that list could go on. And most of you here in this room are on that list somewhere. Many of you are in more than one place on that list, as a matter of fact. And here again, it is a matter of one thing enhancing another. It's not a question of money or volunteer energy. Each one begets the other. For as our pledging and giving levels have increased, our level of volunteer energy has also gone up. Back to what David was talking about for a few moments, it always, I shouldn't say it surprises me, it gratifies me when I come down here on that Saturday in early November and we clean up the cemetery and all kinds of people out here and bringing all kinds of, as Arlo Guthrie would have put it, shovels, rakes, and other implements of destruction to come out and get that cleaned up. It's a wonderful, it's a wonderful sight. It really is. And so I know that there, as I said a few minutes ago, there are a lot of stories about what makes this church go. And it's a similar dynamic with our outreach collections. We don't just put money or checks in a basket and get the impressive figure that I just cited, in which I am, and for which I am, extremely proud. Many of you, in addition to what you contribute here, many of you do on-the-ground, hands-on type of engagements with the organizations and the causes we support. The Nashville Soup Kitchen and Shelter, Marguerite's Place, the Anne Marie House, Pastoral Care Center, to name but a few. Here again, the list is long. Many of you are on it. Well, I could tell a lot of stories that are behind those numbers, but I'm going to keep it to just one for today. So far, in this very weird New England winter, like I said, I saw my first significant snow, except for the incident I'm going to talk about, just this past Sunday in another part of the country. The only snowstorm we've had worth mentioning around here happened back around Halloween. It was the only time during my ministry here that we canceled a Sunday service because of snow in October. October 30th, to be exact. And while it may be kind of amusing to think about that time now, very few of us were laughing back then. The snow's heavy, the storm's heavy snow and ice left many of us without electrical power for days. There were a lot of cold, dark houses out there with a lot of you were living in them, making do as best you could. Well, somehow, the power here at the church stayed up and running the whole time. Now, I got to tell you, when I drive down here from my home, I have to pass 3 other churches on my way. And during the time I'm talking about, none of those churches had power. And we did. I don't want to read too much into that. I'm just saying. It was the Unitarian Universalist Church where the lights stayed on and the heat kept cranking. Well, all right, we're all having a little fun here, and I know I shouldn't make light of others' misfortunes. Besides, what I really want to talk about is what we did with the gift that we were given of light and heat when so many of us did not have it in our homes. With Jen Morton taking the lead, and then a lot of others pitching in, meals were served over here in our dining room for 4 straight nights. And even with computers down and many phones not working, the word still got out. Folks showed up to help prepare meals and then clean up afterwards. Those whose kitchens would allow them to do so, as power gradually came on in different places around town here, brought in dishes of their own. Above and beyond serving well-prepared food, which was very good, we also offered a place for many of us to come out, for at least a few hours anyway, from a kind of hunkered-down isolation to a comfortable, warm, lighted place where we could share one another's company, enjoy one another's fellowship, and plug in our laptops. The gathering was not just limited to church members, as it turned out in time. It was friends of friends who came in and were also welcomed. We offered shelter from the storm, both literal and metaphorical way. Here's a rejoinder. To help cover the cost for the food that were purchased for preparation, collection baskets were put out each night. When the meals and the gatherings that accompanied them had come and gone, and we were back in warm, well-lit homes again, those collections were tallied up, and the money that was put in the baskets went well, well beyond the cost of the meals themselves. Okay, you're smart and perceptive people. I don't need to get all chapter and verse here about the moral of this story when it comes to our topic for today. For me, it comes down to some pretty simple declarative sentences. We take care of ourselves. We take care of one another. We care for those beyond our doors. We rise to the occasion when there's an occasion to be risen to, and we pay our way in doing so. And on top of all that, we usually manage to have some fun in the process. That sums it up for me. Well, all right, I want to do one more quick hit with numbers before I wrap up. I commented earlier on how we've significantly raised our pledge base over the last 5 years and managed to crisscross the line, going in the right direction now, when it comes to pledge income going up and endowment-generated income going down. You'll see there's a little chart in your pledge packet that details that a little more clearly. It is really important that you keep that healthy trend going now, especially as you move into a time of ministerial transition. Some quick figures, and David alluded to these. You'll see them in your pledge packets also. Our total annual operating budget right about this time comes in at slightly under $400,000. Right now we pay $244,000 of that in pledges. Your Board of Trustees wants to get that figure up to $250,000 for the coming year. That may sound a little daunting, but it's about a 1% increase over our current pledge base. And I think you can do that. Perhaps even exceed it. Just as you exceeded covering the cost for those meals that we shared back in November. Well, the single story I told about our shelter from the storm is only one of many that let me know that you are a caring and a giving congregation. For the power that was present in those few days back at the beginning of November wasn't just the power that generated light and heat, crucial as those things were. It was also the presence of the power of people who keep faith with one another, even as members of this liberal religious body have done for close to 2 centuries now.
We, you as a congregation, me as a minister, we'll each be on new life paths in a few months. But I have every confidence that the path you continue on will be one that will enrich and strengthen even further the wonderful history, the wonderful legacy of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Nashua. So this in closing. As was already noted, the theme of this pledge drive is about honoring our past and anticipating your future. Like most religious bodies with a lifespan as long as this one have been, during that time span there have been times of testing and times of joy and celebration. There's been, as the book of Ecclesiastes has it, times to weep and times to laugh, times to mourn and times to dance, times to receive, times to lose. All these kinds of times and many others have also been times to be present for one another, times to take guidance and strength and hope from one another. And so, yes, of course, a pledge drive is about raising money, but it's also about choosing your future and demonstrating the hope and the confidence that you have in your future as together we continue to run this race.